Well, good morning. Hey, I want to paint a picture for you today as best as I possibly can, because we're going to go into one of the greatest passages, I believe, of the Bible. It's the greatest passage, I think, in John chapter 8. So if you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 8. And to me, this is the pinnacle of understanding Jesus, is John chapter 8, last part of John chapter 8. Let me do my best to paint you a picture. Back in eternity, before eternity ever began, God knew in his mind that he was one day going to send his son. He knew that man was going to mess up. He just knew it. That's how God works. So he creates this incredible garden. He puts man inside there. He puts Adam and Eve inside. And in that relationship with man, he walked with man in the cool of the day. The scripture tells us that in Genesis 1 and 2 and into chapter 3. He walked with man. He wanted a relationship with us. He created us because he loved us. And he wanted that relationship to work its way out to where we could get to know him more. Isn't that ironic? And every day God would come, it says, in the cool of the day. And the best that the Jewish people think, that's somewhere between around 3 to 5 o'clock in the afternoon as the day begins to cool off. God would show up and he'd walk with Adam and Eve. We're not sure how long that happened. Apparently not a very long time before the fall took place. And the whole purpose was so that we would get to know our Creator. Man has a longing in his heart to know his Creator, and that's because he placed within us his Spirit, and that Spirit identified us with him. Genesis chapter 3, we ultimately destroyed that because of what we call the fall. And we decided that we didn't want to love God as much as he wanted to love us, and we turned our backs on him, and we walked away from him. And from Genesis chapter 3 through every book of the Old Testament that you read, every book you're going to read, each time God comes to man and says, I want to have a relationship with you. A lot of times we call them covenants or decrees. And in those covenants and those decrees, some were all on God's side, some were, we have to work this thing together. God was constantly revealing his love to mankind. I want a relationship with you. I want to restore this relationship with you. I don't want sin to be in the way, so I'm going to have this certain covenant, or I'm going to have this certain offering. And if you would just do these things, then you and I could have a relationship once again with each other. And you'll get to know me, and you're going to get to understand that I love you and that I care for you and that I created you to be with me. That's the whole point of all this. Why did God make the universe? Why did he make this planet? Why did he do all the things he did? Because he wanted to have a relationship with us. You've got to understand that God didn't have to do that. He did it out of his love for us. God was not lonely. God was not lonely. But in his great love, he created man so we could spend time with him and get to know him and to love the creator of the universe. Can you imagine? You imagine what that must have been like? I can't imagine walking in the cool of the day with God and just and to hear his voice, the guy that created us, and to hear him say, I love you and I care about you and I want to be with you. And we turned our backs on him. And so every book that you read in the Old Testament, God says, I want a relationship with you. He tries to restore the relationship. We say we want a relationship. We're pretty good for a few weeks, a few months, maybe a couple years. And then our sinfulness comes back in, and it causes us to go crazy again. And we lose track of God's love and his faithfulness to us and his compassion towards us. And we have these moments again when we turn our backs on God. And almost at the end of every book, he once again says, but I want to offer you hope. And that hope is this thing we call the Messiah. That one day God was going to send this individual that was going to allow us once again to feel God's love and have a relationship with him. It's so powerful. We see that over and over again. Exodus, we see God come and speaks to Moses and declares to Moses, I'm your creator God. I've always existed, but I want to have a relationship with you, Moses, and I'm going to show myself to you in this incredible cloud, and this cloud's going to be with you during the day and with you during the night. But there's going to come a day, one day, when I'm going to place what this cloud represents inside of your heart. And you're not just going to experience me on the outside, you're going to experience me on the inside. And many of the authors of the Old Testament wrote about this. One day our hearts are going to be soft, Israel. One day we're going to have a relationship with God that's going to be a foundational relationship that's never going to change. And the eternal God's going to have an eternal relationship with us. And it's going to be glorious. And it's going to be wonderful. And when this Messiah comes, all this is going to be fulfilled. And so off goes Isaiah and he writes about it. And Jeremiah writes about it. And Hosea, you guys, he writes about it. And Habakkuk writes about it. All these guys, we call them the minor prophets. There's 12 of them. They're all writing about Israel. Turn back to God. If you don't, God's going to bring the Assyrians in, and he's going to bring the Persians in, and they're going to bring all this persecution. And the whole point of it is so you just would turn back to God. We do, and then we don't. Sometimes it gets a little messy. Sometimes it gets a little rough. And sometimes we say, God, we don't understand you. And God says, I don't understand you. You know what I'm saying? It's not, I'm not the one. It's like that old joke you heard about the couple when they first fall in love, you know, and the girl sitting in the middle of the car, which you can't do anymore in these days, but you know, and she's driving, then all of a sudden they get married. About 10 years into marriage, the husband, you know, the wife is over on her side with the seatbelt on, and she looks at the husband and says, I just feel like something's happened in our relationship. We're just not close like we used to be. And the husband says, well, I'm in the same seat. I haven't moved. You moved. And I think sometimes that's how it is with us and God. God just says, hey, I'm still here. You're the one that moved. I still love you. Absolutely. That love, you get it? You get it so far? That love is what sent Jesus to this planet. Why didn't he just wipe us out? I mean, who's going to question God? Why didn't he just say, you know, I'm done with you guys. I've had enough. I'm going to start over. But he didn't because he loved us. He loved us. So here comes Jesus. His whole ministry is about love and relationship. And he says, come to me. Remember, we've read this in John. You're looking for water to satisfy the thirst of your soul. I'm that. I am the living water. He talks to the lady. Remember in John chapter 4, he talks to the woman at the well. Out of you can come this living water. She knew what he was talking about because they had all been taught this as kids. That one day a guy's going to show up and he's going to talk about these things. And sure enough, there she is talking to him. Blows her mind. And then we find out chapter 6, chapter 7, Jesus up on the temple and they light up all these candles and they're trying to relive God's glory and God's presence and how we felt and how close we were to God at those times. And Jesus says, hey, I am the light of the world. You won't walk in darkness if you come to me. And what is this thing? It's God one more time saying, hey, remember when we used to walk in the cool of the day? Yeah. Well, here I am again, and I want to walk with you in the cool of the day. And all you got to do is just come to me. All you got to do is just admit that I am the Son of God, that I am the Messiah, and that I want to have a relationship with you. I mean, you'll just admit that the Father sent me. We can have this wonderful relationship again. We can walk in the cool of the day again. And I'm going to show you my great love. And you're going to experience something like you've never experienced before. This was what all the prophets wrote about. I'm here. I'm here to present that to you. And some people believed it and some didn't. Some said, how is it possible you, a mere man, could do such a thing? That's what our father and mother did, Adam and Eve. How is it possible you, the creator of the universe, could ever have a relationship with me? Who do you think you are? So some people got it. Some people didn't get it. And in John chapter 8, the Jews are finally hovering around Jesus. And some are barking at him like little poodles. You know, those little dogs. I'm more scared of a poodle than I am a pit bull. You know what I'm saying? They just go crazy. Because you can't keep track of them. You know what I mean? You want to kick them into tomorrow, but you can't get them. You know what I mean? Little dogs. Here's these people are all around Jesus, and they're just picking at him and asking him questions. I don't believe this. I don't believe. And who are you? Who do you really think you are? And that brings us to John chapter 8. Did I paint it well for you? Do you understand how wonderful this thing was that was being presented and how sad it's going to be when we finally get to the end of John? The question that we're going to read here in John chapter 8, and I want to start about verse 31. The question is this, What do you claim to know, Jesus? Who do you really think that you are? There's some incredible major claims that are in this passage, but I want to take a minute and I want to read it to you. Now, it's kind of lengthy, so hang in there. Don't go to sleep on me, those of you that don't like to read or don't like to hear somebody read. But you can't break up this passage. You can't divide up verses 31 to 59. You can't. It's one big story. Okay? So please hang in there with me. You don't want to miss this. To me, this is the greatest. The greatest. Here you go. Ready? 31. The Jews who had believed Jesus, who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Have you ever heard that phrase before? The truth will set you free. What in the world is that talking about? It's talking about that you must believe that what Jesus had been teaching is true. And if you believe in that truth will set you free from what? From your sins. Okay, so how many times have you heard that terminology misused a million times? Okay, that's what that's talking. In its context, Jesus is saying, if you hold to the teachings that I've been teaching, you're going to be set free. Now, see, they get it. Look at verse 33. They said, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone." Oops, somebody didn't pay attention in history class. Okay? Oh, they'd been slaves all the time. But in their mindset, yeah, I might be living in Babylon and you might be king over me, but in my heart, I'm an Israelite and I'm captive to no one. Little cocky. Yeah, okay. I'm Irish. I think we're like that too, Irish people, right? Those of you that are Irish, you know what I'm saying? How then can you say, "We're going to be set free"? 34, Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin." You ever experienced that? We may not get through all this past. You ever experienced that? Do you have that one sin that just keeps bugging the living daylights out of you? And you go to God, "Lord, it's me again." Yeah, I know. He knows your first name, your middle name, your last name. He knows everything about you, right? "Lord, here I am again." Yeah, I know. And I did it again. Yeah, I know. It just keeps tripping you up. Yeah. Now, verse 35, "A slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son," now that's different, "it belongs forever. So, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." What? If Jesus sets me free, I'll be free indeed from what? The sin that keeps messing me up. I'll be free. Wouldn't that be nice? Absolutely. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you're ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you what I've seen in the Father's presence. What did he just say? I've been there. I've been in the presence of God Almighty. That's quite an accusation. And I do what you've heard from your father. 39, Abraham is our father. Wait a second. What do you mean Abraham is your father? I thought God was your father. No, Abraham is our father, they answered. And Jesus says, "If you were Abraham's children, then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who's told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does." Oh. Oh, you want to talk about picking a fight? Jesus just picked a fight. He just pushed one of them. You say that Abraham's your father? Uh-huh. Well, then you ought to be doing what your father was doing. Yeah, yeah. The truth is, though, Abraham's not really your father. What? Yeah, you have a different father. I have a different father? Yeah. Look at their response. We're not illegitimate children. Now, where did that come from? You ready? The virgin birth. What was the rumor about Jesus? Well, there was a lot of rumors in his time that his mama got pregnant out of wedlock. By the way, she did. Y'all know that, right? It's called the virgin birth. Remember? She came home one day and she says, "Mama, I got something to tell you." "Yeah, what's up, honey?" "I'm pregnant." "But it's okay. The Holy Spirit. I'm pregnant by God." "Right, honey. Right. I'm going to call Dr. Rubin right now and he's going to see you this afternoon at 2. Right? Yeah. So can you imagine the rumors that started going through town? Yeah, Joseph got her pregnant. It was her old boyfriend from junior high. It was a guard that she, remember that guy she was talking to the other day? He's got to be the father. I can't wait to see what color hair the kid has. Then we can determine. Yeah. So the rumor had been out that Jesus was illegitimate. And they knew that. And here goes Jesus talking about, your father's not Abraham. You have a different dad. And they said, "Well, at least we're not illegitimate like you." Wow. "The only father we have is God himself. Not you, just us." 42. Jesus said to them, "All right, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God, and now I'm here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me." Can I just say one more time, either Jesus is the Son of God, or he's the craziest man that's ever lived on the face of the planet. Right? That's the only two choices we have. Can you imagine at this moment right now, these guys are going ballistic. What's this called? Blasphemy. That you would claim to be God. How dare you? That you would claim that you were with God in the beginning. Who do you think you are? And yet our whole life, we've read all this stuff that one day whom would show up? God himself, called the Messiah. And that when the Messiah comes, the world's going to know. And it's going to radically change everything that we know at that moment. And here's Jesus standing in front of them saying, "I'm the guy that Isaiah talked about. I'm the guy that Jeremiah proclaimed. When Daniel, that was me. When Daniel was in that fire pit and nobody was burning up and some other guy was walking around, I just want to tell you, it was a little warm in there, but I was in there. That was me." That's what he's saying. Wow. 43. "Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say." 44. "You belong to your father." Here it is. The devil. Don't you love it when Jesus, don't you love it when God begins to work in your life and he doesn't beat around the bush? Or do you not like that? Sometimes I don't like true confession moments with Jesus. Me and Jesus, I don't like his reality. His reality is always truth. His reality always tells me how I'm not living the way I'm supposed to. I don't like that. So you know what? I just don't read the Bible. Because if I don't read the Bible, then I don't have to see the truth. You know what I'm saying? How many are like me? You chickens. Yeah, three of you, right? We're going to get together after service and pray, okay? Because we need it. The rest of these guys, they're so holy, they don't know what they're doing. Isn't that true? Oh, yeah. I mean, I talk to people all the time. "Well, I think this and I think that." So, well, do you read the Bible? Well, kind of. Depends on what you mean read means. Yeah. Crazy, huh? "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. That'll preach. That'll preach. Wow. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and he's the father of lies, implying, so are you. Oh, there's a lot of implication in here. Oh, right about now, man, these people, they're, you could just see the steam coming out of their ears. Yeah. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Any questions? Anybody have any thoughts at this moment? Do you understand what I'm getting at? You are not part of really Abraham. I am. You haven't come from above. I have. You're part of this planet. I'm not. You're a sinner, and I'm not. Any questions? No questions. Great. Are you getting it? This is what Jesus is doing. Are you getting this? Oh, it even gets funner. Is funner a right word? Gets more funner? Okay. The Jews answered him, aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? A Samaritan is like saying you're a dog. Not only are you a dog, but you're out of your mind. You're possessed with an unclean spirit. We've seen these kind of people before. And you're one of them. 49, I'm not possessed by a demon, says Jesus, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. I'm not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, oh boy, he will not see death. Now hang on. You all getting this, right? I mean, the only one who has life over death is whom? Is God. The only one who has the right to talk like this is God. The only one who can offer you forgiveness of sins is God. So he's either or he's not. Right? Right. 52. At this, the Jews exclaimed. Can I just say their pitch went up? Their eyebrows raised. They got on the tips of their toes and they started pointing their fingers. They were upset at this point. At this, the Jews exclaimed, now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died. And so did the prophets, all these guys back here. Yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death. Here's the question. Are you greater than our father Abraham? Are you greater than Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you make yourself out to be, is the best translation of that. Who do you make yourself out to be? Abraham is the greatest. All nations are going to be blessed by Abraham. Abraham and Sarah, the beginning of what we know as the Jewish race today. And God has blessed Abraham. And I'm one of those blessings, is what they're saying. So I have to ask the question, are you greater than Abraham? And I love what Jesus says. He says, look at the next verse. No, I'm sorry, I misspoke. No, I don't know what he says. Oh, no. I think Jesus kind of just took a deep breath, and I think in his spirit he just said, okay, God, Father, here we go. Here we go. We're pulling out all the stops. The organ is getting ready to play, baby. He's pulling out all the stops. You ever been in one of those pipe organs? And they just start pulling them all out, man, and he's about ready to play the ultimate song here. Here he goes. He says, if I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim is your God, he's the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, it's an interesting word. That word means to have an understanding of him. though you do not know him, I have an absolute, it's a different Greek word, I have an absolute knowledge of him. And if I did not, I would be a liar like you, but I have an absolute knowledge of him, and can I say it? And I absolutely keep his word, implying you don't. You don't. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day, and he saw it, and he was a happy camper. And they said, you are out of your crazy mind. You're nuts. You aren't even 50 years old. They even gave him the benefit of the doubt. He's probably in his early 30s right now. You're not even 50 years old, and here it is. And you have seen Abraham? Take a deep breath. You ready? If Jesus ever had a moment to really clarify who he was, now would be that moment. If there was ever a time in history past or history future that Jesus could have said, let's clear this up now. Let's make sure we totally understand everything here about who I am. This is the moment. This is the moment when God promised in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that he was going to send the one who was going to clean this mess up. This is the moment in Exodus chapter 3 when Moses is talking to the burning bush. This is the moment when Moses would go into the tabernacle and would be face to face with God himself. This is the moment when Elijah was up on the mountain and he called God's greatness to come down and consume the fires. This is the moment when Daniel was in the lion's den and God was with him and the lions didn't chew him up. This is the moment when Jeremiah is stuck in a cistern full of body waste. And he's in there and God speaks to him and says, Jeremiah, I'm going to use you to do great and powerful things. This is the moment when Samson's eyes are plucked out and he stands between the two pillars and he calls upon Almighty God to give him the strength to wipe out more Philistines in that moment than his entire career. This is the moment when God comes to Mary and says, you're going to be with a child and you're going to call him Jesus. He's going to come and he's going to save his people from their sins. This is the moment when John the baptizer is in the water and he says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is the moment when God finally says, I'm here. Watch what he says. You are not yet 50 years old, the Jews said to him, and you have seen Abraham. 58, I tell you the truth, O King James, verily, verily, before Abraham was born, I am. What in the world did he just do? He just put you in a time machine and shot you back to Exodus chapter 3. He just looked at all these people and said, I am the creator of the universe. I'm the one when it said, let there be light, that was me that said that. When I created the stars and I made this planet and I said on day 3 to do this and on day 4, that was me. I'm the one that holds everything together. And I have always existed, and I exist this moment, and I will always exist. That's who I am. And he's standing before these Jews who can hardly even believe he's not even 50 years old. And he says, I am so old, I'm older than dirt because I made the dirt. Do you understand what just happened that moment? The very God of creation turns to these people and says, before Abraham was born, I have always existed and I will always exist. And those people took a step back and they looked at each other and said, wow, he's arrived. The Messiah is here. What in the world were we thinking? You idiot. Why would you talk that way to him? Let's all bow before him. Let's all get on our knees before the Almighty God. Look who's standing here. God, forgive us from our blasphemy. Forgive us from the way we treat him. Why would you call him a Samaritan? We are the fools. You are the Almighty God. He said, don't eat from the tree. Why did we eat from the tree? You shouldn't have done that. See what they're saying? You can see that. See that in that verse? You see it? No. Because of the arrogance of our sin, because of the pride of our hearts, we're no different than these people. We're no different. God reveals his greatness to us each and every day. He overwhelms us with his power and his authority. He takes care of our needs each and every day, and we do this. Look what they said. At this, they picked up stones to stone him. Why? Why did they pick up stones? Tell me, class. It's blasphemy. They knew exactly what he just said. In theological terms, we call the moment with Moses and the burning bush, we call that a theophany. Theo, God, ophany, appearance of. But can I just tell you a little secret? It was a Christophany. Jesus was there. The burning bush was Jesus. When Abraham was in his tent and the three guys show up and they're on their way to go save Lot from Sodom and Gomorrah, the one guy that's standing there talking, and Abraham says, well, how about for 50 people? How about for 40? How about for 30? How about for 20? How about for 10? Who's he talking to? This guy. This guy. And every time in the Old Testament, when you read, when God shows up and people saw him, it was this guy. It's this guy. And they knew what he was saying. And they couldn't handle it. And they picked up stones to stone him. And I love what Jesus did. What does he do? He says, sorry, I'm not going to let the created mess with the creator right now. I've got some other business to do. I'm going to let you guys stand here for a while and stew on this. Because what's going to happen now is now they're going to plot to kill Jesus because they are so upset they can't stand the fact that God himself stood in front of them and said, Nanner, Nanner, it's me. It's me. The I am. Here I am. Here I am. And they couldn't stand. He says, that's right, I'll give you a moment. You're going to need a moment. I got some other things to do. He's going to go into John chapter 9. He's going to do some incredible things. He's going to keep doing incredible things. And these guys are going to go meet together. They're going to have a little summit. And they're going to decide, what do you think? You think he's the guy? Are you kidding me? He can't be the guy. Because God can't do those kind of things. Wow. We're no different, huh? We're no different. Can I tell you a little secret? Jesus Christ is the great I am. And the I am came to this planet to give us life because he loves us and he wants to have a relationship with us. I hope that you know Jesus the I am. I hope he's the Lord of your life. I hope you have invited him into your life. I hope that you don't stand there and go, it's not possible. It can't be. He's not even 50 years old. I hope you don't do that. I hope you don't pull one of the stunts that these people pull. I hope you'll be the one that stepped back and said, wow, God has come. And I hope that you're a follower of the great I am who gave his life for you, who restored for you the relationship that we lost in Genesis chapter 3. I hope you know Jesus. What a powerful story, yes? Does that help you to understand that better? Do you get it? All that history of the Old Testament came to that one little moment. And Jesus proclaimed, I am. He does that every day to us. There are people that need to know about Jesus. We need to tell people about the great I am. Tell them about how much he loved them. I hope today, if you've never asked Jesus as your Savior, you'll invite him into your life. Not turn your back on him. Let him love you. He created you for his love. He wants to have that relationship with you. I'd like to pray for us right now. And I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes and bow your heads for just a moment. Maybe today you're one of those people sitting here in this audience and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior. You've never said, I'm a sinner and I'm in need of Jesus. And maybe today you'd like to invite Christ into your life. I would like to pray for you. I'd like to pray for you. I'd like to invite you this moment to ask Jesus Christ to come into your hearts and lives. So if you're here, one of those people today, just by maybe a show of hand, I just like to know that I'd like to pray for you, that you'd like to invite Christ. Are you here today? And by a raising hand, you're saying, Pastor Terry, would you pray for me? I would like to invite Jesus into my heart. Is there anyone here this morning? Thank you. Anybody else? I want to pray for you. I want you to pray with me. Those of you who raised your hand, I want you to pray this prayer, okay? Here's what I want you to pray. You can pray it out loud if you want to, but I want you to pray it in your heart, and I want you to mean it. Here it is. Lord Jesus, I need you. And I want to invite you into my heart and into my life right now. I know I'm a sinner, and I know you're the Savior. And I accept your forgiveness for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and be my Savior and my Lord. And I give you today my life. If you prayed that prayer today, you just became a child of God. If you prayed that prayer today, I want you after the service to come and tell me. Because I want it to be real to you. And I want you to know for sure that you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Father God, I thank you that you're still in the business of saving souls. And I thank you for these ones who raised their hand, and I hope, Lord, that they meant it. We love you today. We love you that you love us so much. Oh, how did we miss this? How did we miss your great love? And I thank you that even again today on this date, you showed your love again by offering salvation to these ones who raised their hand. I thank you for that, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We honor you. We acknowledge your greatness. We acknowledge that you are the I am. Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing. I pray as we close with this song and we give of our love gifts to you, God. We just want to just tell you we love you. We praise you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' wonderful and powerful name, amen.